All right. You all feel like traveling home? That's a good song, isn't it? And one day we will be traveling home. What a blessed day that would be. This morning, our message is a continuation from last Sunday. Today, we'll be looking at verses 10, latter part of verse 10, and also verse 11. It is called the Lord's Prayer, part 2, this morning. And I'll begin reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 9 again. Follow along with me, please. Pray, then, in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom is come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. So in this message today, we're going to continue looking at the Lord's Prayer. And the gospel, as I shared last week, from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. I won't read that again because it is an introduction, preface, to where Jesus was talking with the disciples and multitudes there on the Sermon on the Mount. This is a part of Jesus' message to the people who were in front of him that day. And it says in verse 1 of Luke chapter 11, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. In verse 2, and Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, which is the Lord's Prayer that follows. And Jesus gave his disciples the following prayer as an example how to pray. This is a good example for us to know how to pray as well. In fact, it is sometimes called the model prayer. You've often heard that. And it's an outline for all of us, as it was for the disciples, to seek God's will when we pray and know how to pray the right way. So this morning, we're going to look at seeking God's will in the latter part of verse 10. Going back to that verse, just look at that verse again. Last week it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. So this morning we're looking at how God's will be done, will be done. So looking at the second part, the latter part of verse 10, when we pray for God's will to be done, we see the attitude of humility and submission. When we come before God, I want us always to remember this. We must come before God with humility and submission, because he is the Almighty God. He is the great creator of all things, including our lives. So we should always be humble before him. Jesus was always humble before the Father. He was always in submission to the Father. He didn't do anything except what the Father told him to do. So when We pray your will be done. We align ourselves with Jesus in his submission to God's will. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Jesus said, "Father, if it will, is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your be done." He prayed that in submission. He prayed that in humility. He prayed that in pain, didn't he? Knowing what was going to take place. But he ended his prayer by saying, "Let your will be done." So it is important for us to seek God's will in every prayer, everything that we do. See, Jesus had his own desire, but he didn't let his own desire get in the way of God's will. He didn't do that. We shouldn't either. And there are some who need to realize that their will is not always God's will. Our will is not always God's will. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. So we need to be submissive to him. Now, some of our desires may align with God's will. You think about it that way. And where they do, I believe that God will use them when we pray in submission. And however, our desires do not always fit into his plans. God has a plan for us all. And in order to truly take part in God's will, we must learn to put aside our own personal desires so that his will be done. Because God does work all things out for the good for those who love him and called according to his will. That will is mentioned several times in the New Testament, God's will and how God works. So what is the ultimate will of God? In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us." Aren't you glad he's long-suffering? Yes, I am. "Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, that repentance involves humbleness. That means that we are to be submissive. Our will is to be yield to God's will. See, God's ultimate will, according to this verse, as I interpreted it and as I prayed over it and sought God's wisdom with it, is that no one should perish. You know, John 3:17 says that God didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that everyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's right before John 3:16. To let us know that he doesn't want anyone to perish, but to have everlasting life. So, knowing that God's will concerning our involvement in his plan can be difficult to discern sometimes. But there is one thing that is always consistent with God, and that is his kingdom is to come, and it will come, and that all people will know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I believe one of these days, when the last person is going to be saved, is going to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you know, that song we y'all sung a while ago, "We'll be heavenly bound." I believe that with all of my heart. See, God wants us to use us to lead as many people to him as possible. And to do so, we must be sharing the gospel. Offer a challenge to you. Try to witness or to share the gospel at least one person a week. That's not asking too much, is it? I try every week to try to share the gospel. Say, Lord, lead somebody into my path and so that I can talk to them about the gospel. If not one, but two or three. I don't care how many it is. Send as many as you want to. I'll talk with them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this brings us to the next statement. On earth as it is in heaven. Jesus prayed that. See, we just saw how the kingdom is come, invading and prevailing the earth. The kingdom is present in great power. Think about that. And we must be careful about separating God's power from the world in our own theological understanding. Now, there's a lot of theological things out there. We can read about it and study about it. But he is not somewhere off in the distance sitting and just watching us. He is present in our lives right here now. And he is active in our lives. And God wants his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus prayed that. On earth as it is in heaven. We know everything in heaven is perfect. It would be great if everything was on this earth was perfect today, but it's not, is it? Because we're still here. People are still in it. So in heaven, Jesus is the Lord in the hearts of all. And God wants Jesus to be the Lord in the hearts of all people on this earth. And that's part of our responsibility. That's part of the privileges that we have as Jesus prayed on earth as it is in heaven, that we share the gospel. Now, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Another good verse. Write these scriptures down. Go back and read them. And the Holy Spirit will give you understanding of these scriptures as it is based upon what Jesus is asking and praying himself to the Heavenly Father. Let me read that again. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth, so whatever we take to heaven in prayer, the Lord our God will bind them here on earth as they are in heaven. And whatever is loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So if we apply this verse, you think about it, if we apply this verse to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth, and we might say, well, how are we going to get to the ends of the earth? Lindsay's going to the ends of the earth now, soon, aren't you? To Egypt. Of course, her thinking is not like our thinking. But you know, we can be a witness anywhere we go by the way we live and as we conduct ourselves and just share our life. So it's an encouraging message. One that tells us that we have been given the power of binding or losing. So we can bind the forces of evil. We can do that. God has given us the power to do that. Jesus prayed that. If we can bind it and unleash the power of God in our lives, he has given us the power. That's why in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when Jesus told the disciples, go back to Jerusalem and you stay there until you receive the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then here. Right? That's binding power of God. And we can bind those forces of God. We can unleash His power. See, the Lord empowers us to carry the gospel to the world. He empowers us. He said, "Go ye therefore and baptize in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit." He says, "I have all authority, both in heaven and on earth." Because God is present and His power is present, He will work through us to see that all of this is accomplished. That's why He's told the disciples that when He ascended into heaven, He said, "You are going to do a greater work now that I'm going back to the Father, because I'm sending the Holy Spirit, which will empower you to do all of these things that you have seen us do while I'm here." See, and now we're here, and we have that power. We must pray. We must not just think we're going to do it on our own, but Jesus never tried to do anything on His own, because He said, "I don't do anything on my own initiative except what the Father tells me to do." And that's what you want to do. That's what I want to do. I don't do anything on my own initiative except what God tells me to do and gives me the power to do. So whenever we pray, "God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven," first of all, I'll give you three things here. Again, whenever we pray, "God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven," first of all, we are asking that God's will be accomplished and not our own will. God's will, not our will. That's why Jesus said, "Not my will be done, but Father, Your will be done." The second thing we're asking for, Christ to reign in the hearts of every person on earth, just as He reigns in the hearts of all who are in heaven. That's what Jesus was praying. I mean, you can look at that and pick that out. That is something discerning, and that's how that scripture is to be interpreted. And then thirdly, we are praying to be used by God in His kingdom coming. So He's coming back one of these days. His kingdom is still being established, but He's coming again, and that His empowers us to be His witnesses. And all we got to do is just pray like, "Jesus, that Your will be done." Now, that's the first part, seeking God's will. Now, let's look at seeking God's hand in verse 11. When we come to verse 11, we move from seeking God's face to seeking His hand. And this type of prayer is called petition. Oftentimes in Paul's epistles, he calls it supplications. But I call it petition. We are to seek God's hand and not His handouts. Okay? We're to seek His hand. So as God's hand and guidance is upon our life, and it is upon our life, it's upon this church, it's upon the children of God. His hand is, and He is present with us. He is aware of all of our needs before we even ask. But He wants to hear from us. He wants us to ask. That's why Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and my" what? My scholars out there. What? Righteousness. And all of these other things will be added unto you. Now, that's the verse I'll be coming up to. I wanted to throw that and out to you earlier. But moving further down into Matthew 6:33, Jesus teaches us more about the daily bread. And this is the verse I just quoted you. Matthew 6:33. The kingdom and these things. The kingdom and these things. These things refer to daily provisions. All the things that we possibly need in this world. You know, we need food, right? We need clothing, we need housing, we need these things. God knows we need them before we ask. He doesn't always give us our wants, but He gives us our needs. He meets our needs, and He is faithful in doing that. So these two things are seen in the Lord's Prayer as the kingdom in verse 10 and the daily bread in verse 11. See, seek ye first the kingdom of God and my righteousness and all these other things, you'll get those. But you seek me first. I'm most important, the Lord is saying. And all these other things, that's why Jesus told the disciples as they would go out and witness and go across the areas and the places they went to heal and to share with people. Oftentimes the disciples say, "Well, Lord, what are we going to take with us? We're going on a journey, so what about our food? What about our clothing?" He said, "Don't worry about those things. That'll be taken care of." That's why He was reminding the disciples, "You seek me first. Seek the Heavenly Father and His righteousness. And all these other things will be given to you. Your needs are going to be met because you're with me. You're with me." If we can always remember that. Jesus is saying that if we seek the advancement of His kingdom through prayer and by sharing the gospel, then all of our daily provisions will be met as daily bread is daily provision. Have any of you gone without want, food, or anything? No. We haven't. We're blessed. God has made sure. You know, we don't sit around and just wait for it to happen. I mean, we must do our part in providing the things that God gives us and is going to give us. But if we will seek Him first, that will be provided. And then in closing, when we pray, we must ask for what we need daily and not come with our never-ending shopping list. When I was in Bible college, I had a professor. He taught theology. And in his classes, you had to memorize chapters. You didn't just go, you know, thinking about this and this is going to be on the test. The whole chapters would be on there. You had to memorize the whole book. I'm serious. And we got to calling his test the grocery list. I'm serious. We called it the grocery list because everything is in that chapter was on that test. So, that's what I'm saying. We don't just come to Him with a never-ending shopping list. We are not praying for just ourselves either. Jesus teaches us to pray for us, not me. Not me, you know, ourselves. So the plural pronoun us and ours expand these requests in which I think includes others in our prayers who live under our Heavenly Father, under heaven. So are we praying for provisions for others as well? We need to be. Jesus did. And we are to do that as well. You know, seeking God's will and seeking God's hand is very important, these two verses. That's why I've broken them down these weeks. And next week I'll finish up with the Lord's Prayer. But think about, as you go home today, turn to this passage of scriptures and say, is this how I am really praying? Is this how I am seeking God's will through my prayers? And if you find that you might be off just a little bit in your asking God and praying to God, then read this prayer over and over and over until it just kind of sinks in and say, yes, this is how I need to be praying. This is how Jesus prayed. This is how he taught his disciples to pray. And remember, we come before him humbly. We come to him submissively, yielding our will to his will, just as Jesus did. That's why Jesus spent so much time in the garden, Malades, praying on his hands and knees early in the morning, throughout the day, at night, seeking God's will, because he wanted to make sure he was fully obedient to the Father in every area of his life. What a prayer. That's why it's called the model prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. We seek you, Lord, with all our heart, soul, and mind. Coming to you with submissiveness, humbly, contrite spirit, knowing that you are all-powerful, all-knowing. You know all things before we ask, but Lord, you want to hear from us. And we need to come with you with the right attitude. As David in Psalm 51 came to you, he was totally submissive, because he knew he did not deserve coming before you without humbling himself and being honest from his heart. And John the Baptist, he didn't feel adequate enough to baptize your son Jesus. He didn't even feel adequate enough to untie his sandals. But Jesus said, this is my Father's will, that his kingdom be fulfilled. And that's what we ought to be doing as well, fulfilling your commandment to fill the kingdom of heaven. As your witnesses, Lord, you empower us, you enable us, you've given us the gifts and the ability to do that. Lord, thank you for the Lord's Prayer. Thank you for the Sermon on the Mount. Thank you for the Beatitudes. All of these are very important for our daily living. If we remember this, Lord, in your righteousness and everything else that we ever need or even hope to need or think we need will be given to us through your obedience to us and your promises. Lord, whatever the decisions are today, let your will be done in each one of our lives. May we be submissive and respond to your invitation when we sing this final song. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.